Tuesday, Washington's birthday. It was a short night for those around the White House. I woke about 7, and finding Lyndon was awake, crawled in bed with him for coffee, picked up the paper and saw a headline, General Maxwell Taylor agrees with Bobby Kennedy. I passed it to him. Can this be true? Wearily, yes. We've been trying to bail him out. Apparently, it had been a series of misunderstandings, misconceptions, misquotings. So this explains last night's late hours and strain and tension. How disappointing. It had all been played against a backdrop, or so it seemed to me, of relief and relaxation on the weekend. 2 full days of testimony, General Maxwell Taylor and Dean Rusk, when it seemed that everything about Vietnam had been aired to all the world, and that the administration had won the round, topped off by the marvelous succinct appearance of Mac George Bundy on TV on Sunday. And then suddenly, this deflation, this uncertainty, apparently to ward off the mounting dangers of schism and dissension in the country. Lyndon, and I don't know how much staff, had spent practically all night on the problem. As a part of it, Bill Moyers had had dinner with Senator Fulbright. That was the report he was writing up. I remember one sentence that Lyndon repeated several times. They can talk and have opinions, but what do they do when they see that letter on the desk from Westmoreland asking for 20,000 more Marines? You have to answer it yes or no right now. Which answer? No doubt about him. He has answered yes up to now. And will. Lyndon spoke of the role of the press. They just want to throw the cats in the tail by the ring and say, sick 'em. At least a situation like this is good for them. Controversy makes lively writing. Unable to control the great events of the day, I applied myself to the quite small. Spent an hour working on the samples that Jesse Kellum had sent me for ceramic tile and floor tile and formica for Mrs. Bailey's house, made selections, phoned him and returned them. Succumbed to a shot of B12, long recommended by Liz from Dr. Berkeley. Tried on my clothes from Molly Parnes, several of them quite charming. And heard Lucy, mad as a hornet, discuss an article in a magazine or something called Women's Wear, which had given the 3 Johnson women pretty poor marks as dressers. Lucy was inclined to blame it on Linda Bird's Bobby socks and loafers, and was really quite heatedly annoyed about it. I talked to Mary Allen about repairs we're having made at the Haywood, papering of 2 bathrooms and a bedroom, and slip covering of furniture. It's all coming along fine. It's finished. She likes it. For Lawrence Klein about work at the ranch, doing over a bedroom, the Victorian one, at the guest house, and some antique brass beds I've gotten, which he says are charming. And to A.W. about the park, pocket-sized one in Johnson City, upon which Mr. Wyrick is busily at work. Hopefully in May it will be ready for life and for the public. And then, because I am no marathon runner like Lyndon, and there are times when I can only feel love and compassion and not really help, I lay down for a nap I simply had to have. A milk punch always gets me off to one, and slept wonderfully relaxed until about 4. And then up to see Mrs. Provenson, eating my first real meal of the day, scrambled eggs and toast and bacon, always my favorite, in the Queen's room while we went over the Alabama speech, now finished and sounding better. I really spent 2 long, good, hard hours with her, to much benefit. And then I called Dr. Hurst. By now it was 7. Would he go bowling with me? He would. It turned out to be good, though he insisted he hadn't done it in 10 years. He beat me a couple of games, but I beat him 1 with 143 score. We stopped by to see if we could get Lyndon to come home for dinner. It should be an early one. But he's in the mess, which means that he has a crowd with him. I knew I must not interrupt. I left word in his office to ask him to join us. He had 2 appointments after the meeting with the crowd. When he had not come by 10 o'clock, we sat down for dinner, just the 2 of us. It is always easy and happy to talk to Dr. Hurst. He had brought us the product of 7 years of labor on his part, the first book off the press on the heart, the first comprehensive one to come out, he told us, in about a decade. I cannot even lift it, much less understand it. but I value him giving it to us. We discuss the need for more nurses. There's a need for more of everything trained in this world, it seems. And there's a sort of internecine war between nursing schools that give diplomas and actually supply some 90% of the nurses, and those that give degrees, such as Lucy is going to, that supply a much smaller number, I think he said about 10%. Willis looked at the portrait that Mrs. Barry had done of me, and he is the first person who gave it complete and enthusiastic endorsement. I was happy. If Linda needs dozens of friends, much love. I, too, need some. At 11 o'clock, I went to bed, but I asked him to stay up and talk to Lyndon, and Lyndon did come home a little past 11:30 and had dinner. It is an endurance contest, this job. I count the months and the weeks until the time I have set, but I have not the force of character and not even really the desire to try to make Lyndon work less hard. It is worth every last atom of whatever he has to give it.